Good morning, everyone. Welcome into another edition of the Matt Biamonte podcast. This is it's a morning walk edition here, and it's a non-sports one. I want to talk about the recent Apple event. So if you're looking for BYU stuff or NBA stuff, that's all to come. So don't get me wrong. It's definitely have a place here, but I wanted to just talk about the Apple event for a minute, which that happened on September 7th, and man, it's one of my favorite days of the year. Good morning. What?
Might be going to the BYU
game. Are you?
I'm going to see if I can make it work.
How?
It's a babysitter to watch.
You have work tickets or something?
No, I got a buddy that has some extra tickets. He said, hey, you want to come? So.
Dude, absolutely.
It's going to be a good game.
I think so. I mean, it's been 5 years since there's been a top 10 team at BYU, and they haven't beaten a top 10 team at home since 1990.
Dude, I hope they can do it. I would love it. I mean, ESPN has it like 50, 51,
49. Yeah, it's going to be tight.
I think it's gonna be fun,
yeah. Get a babysitter.
I know, I'm trying.
Nice. Take care, Ben. That was my neighbor trying to get to the BYU-Baylor game, which you just heard a few interesting stats about the game. And I promise you, we're going to do that podcast later in the week. A little preview of what is a huge game. Let me give you a little tease before we switch back to tech, because here on the Matt Biamonte podcast, I just want to talk about things I want to talk about. And tech is something I love. In fact, later today, I also like drones. I have a giant hornet's nest at the peak of my house. I'm going to attach a rod to it and knock down a hornet's nest with a drone. So maybe I'll film that and put it on the Instagram. I don't know. It should be interesting. But BYU and Baylor, as I mentioned, a huge football game. I thought game day should have went. I really don't like that they went to Alabama, Texas. I know there's the Sark, Saban angle, but come on. I mean, I'm just sick of Texas. And I'm sick of this narrative with Texas that, oh, it's a premier program. No, it's a premier name, but they have not been good enough since Mac Brown left. Really, since Vince Young won them the national championship. I take that back. Colt McCoy was pretty dang good. The Colt McCoy era was good, but like, let's just stop anointing them every time you think something is about to happen with Texas. They need to prove it first. So, anyways, BYU-Baylor, huge game. And just one tease for a pod down the road. Good morning. Would be, I think this is a resume opportunity for Jaren Hall. Especially if they're without their two best receivers, Gunnar Romney and Puka Nacua. If he can lead BYU to a win over the number 9 Baylor Bears, that to me catapults him into the first round of the NFL draft, and he's starting to get major buzz as one of the best college quarterbacks in the country. And what do all the best BYU quarterbacks have in common? They have signature wins. That's why I don't put Zach Wilson amongst the elite. Because there's not that many great wins. I mean, Tennessee was a great win. I was there. It was awesome. But Tennessee wasn't that good. I mean, they were better than people give them credit for. But USC even. Were they ranked when Zach beat them? Yes. Were they a great football team? No. I don't think Keaton Slovis is that good. So that's not to say Zach wasn't a very good BYU quarterback. He was. But come on, let's not put him in there with Max Hall, Ty Detmer, Jim McMahon, Steve Young. Those guys had huge wins. Max Hall beat Oklahoma. They were number 3. Ty Detmer beat number 1 at home. So that's why I'm like, this is a real opportunity for Jaren Hall's resume as a potential pro and to move up, I think, a little bit the BYU quarterback hierarchy, because there's a lot of opportunities this year. And this is the first big one. He passed the first test against USF. Most completions in his career in a game. Great completion percentage. So that's the biggest storyline to me. Whether or not Puka or Gunnar Romney are there, can Jaren Hall lead this BYU team to a win? But I'll have that more later in the week. Right now, though, back to Apple. I just wanted to touch on a few things from yesterday's announcements. Apple announced, and I'm a huge Apple fan, new iPhone, iPhone 14, RIP to the mini. That one really stings. I had a 13 mini. I love the small form. I can't get on board with these giant screens. Now there's two. There's the 14 Plus and the 14 Pro Max. Huge. I'm not about that. So I'm looking at the 14 regular or the 14 Pro because I'm on the upgrade program. And anyone who asks me, I think the upgrade program is the only way to go in today's day and age with cell phones. Not that you're asking, but the days of buying a phone outright, $1,000 plus, keeping it a year or two, selling it, it's hard. A lot of phones out there. This isn't the early days of the iPhone. I think that's a lot of work. So, yeah, bud, there's a yellow bus. We love to see the yellow buses on the morning walks with my two-year-old Cooper. Loves the yellow buses. So there's the iPhone 14 line. There was new AirPods Pro and Apple Watch Series 8 and the Apple Watch Ultra, which is not for me, but I did like some functionality of it. If you're an outdoorsy adventure person who is camping, hiking, fishing, just stuff in the outdoors, running, there's some cool functionality there to it, no doubt about it. So it doesn't tempt me, but I like having this customizable button that serves a purpose. Like, I love the demo of the Ultra. This is one of my call-outs. I love the demo where you're hiking and you can just mark points along the path. And it also can remember where you came from so you can backtrack how you went. So I thought that was cool. It's just not for me. But I thought the price tag wasn't bad. $799? I know that sounds crazy for a piece of tech, but it does a lot of cool stuff. You can scuba dive with this thing, for heaven's sake. So I won't be getting it, but I thought that was interesting. I think the biggest announcement that I think will be the most impactful was on the Pro phones. The Dynamic Island I thought was really cool. So I follow all the rumors, and coming into it, the big rumor was that on the Pro line that the notch was going away. If you know anything about the iPhones, a lot of what they offer now has that notch, just that piece at the top that holds Face ID, front-facing camera. It's, you know, we all got used to it, but it is a little weird. And then other competitors were moving to like hole punch in the middle, little hole punch in the corner, trying to get to a point where all phones just have a full display on the front, but still has the functionality of camera, biometric security, whether that's Touch ID or Face ID. So the Pro line was, they were going to like shrink it, make it into a pill. At one point, the rumor was like a pill and a dot. And to me, this is just based on the rumors, right? So that's why you always have to wait until the keynotes and the demos to get a true feel for these changes. But the pill and the dot to me was just a unnecessary step. I felt like, look, the notch is what it is. It's not ideal, but it's also fine. Like, I think we've all grown accustomed to it. So is the pill going to make my life better? Like, getting that extra screen real estate, what is it really going to do? How's it going to change my life? Because it is going to protrude on videos more than the notch. That was my thought going into the keynote, just how is this going to add to it? Well, I think they managed to do it. I thought Dynamic Island was a really nice, creative solution to the problem, which is this little cutout is going to be there because it has to be. And let's turn it into something that software can make useful. And I love the idea that there's going to be kind of some alerts in this area. It can expand based on the type of alert. The demo they used showed, when you use Apple Pay, it would show up there. You use Face ID, it would show up there, rather than popping up in random places, because now it'll pop down from the top, or it'll pop up from the bottom, or there'll be something in the center of the screen. Now this can dynamically expand or stay small depending on what it's alerting. And something I really liked about iOS 16, which comes out on Monday and I think is a really nice update software-wise, is the lock screen, which we'll get to in a minute, but more specifically, live notifications. I think the two best use cases right out of the gate will be Uber and Lyft. That can be a live notification where it tracks your driver coming to meet you. Rather than having to have the app open, you can have the phone locked and it'll show you on the lock screen. Or now, with the dynamic island, it can show you how close they are in the dynamic island. So you can be using other applications, but still have a live view of that. And the other one was sports, where on the lock screen, it can just, rather than having ESPN app open, which look, none of us do anymore. It's kind of a solution to a problem that doesn't exist now, because we can watch the games on our phones live rather than following the play-by-play in a sports app. But that can also show in the dynamic island live. So you can be doing other things, but the score could be in that section. And I think it just makes that space so much more useful than it would have been. Because right now the notch, for instance, does nothing. It's just in the way all the time. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not a problem. We've all got used to it, but now that space has a use. So I think that is really meaningful. To me, it's a no-brainer if you're considering upgrading your phone. Look at all the trees, Cooper. Look at all the trees. We love to point out the things on the walk here, me and the 2-year-old son, Cooper. The cars, the trees. Are there gonna be sprinklers at the park? So the point I was making, though, was I think the dynamic island, albeit maybe a small thing, I think is going to be a really useful and enjoyable thing. So if you're going to upgrade your phone to a 14, you have to go with the Pro. I think it's worth the extra $200. Because then on top of that, you get a high refresh rate screen, which will make always on display. Maybe useful, maybe not, I don't know. I can see some examples of when it would be nice to just glance at your phone and have some information available without having to tap it or unlock it. Maybe like a calendar widget, a weather widget, those type of things. Some people have been clamoring for that in the Apple community for years. I don't think it makes a big difference. That's just my thought. I'm glad to have it, but so you get the always on display. The camera improvements are always a big deal. Having a 48 megapixel camera. What does that mean? I don't think it means as much as you think for an average day person. But here's where I think the application is the most useful. Is if you take a picture, especially of like a landscape, and it's wide, there's a lot in it. You can crop it tight and still maintain crisp resolution. If you're just snapping a picture of your dog at home, I don't think 48 megapixels does a whole lot. I don't think you're gonna be able to detect the difference. I think 48 megapixels though is great for cropping. And I think there might actually be more opportunities. This sounds crazy. My wife would never support this. Yeah, there's the pool. I kind of want to get more art in my home of pictures I've taken. Like, cameras have come so far. We've all taken probably really great pictures of our family and of places we love to visit. Having a 48 megapixel camera makes those pictures even better, especially for maybe blowing up and turning into a photo in your home. So I don't mind that. Action mode, I think, is legit if it works as demoed. But having much more stable video, especially if you're not stationary, that's the point. If you're moving, you're following someone, you're tracking something, it'll be more stationary. I like that. I'm interested in that. I thought that was a nice little addition. So it's not a huge thing, but it's enough for me because I'm on the upgrade program. And to me, it just makes sense to upgrade my phone every year. I'm paying the monthly fee. I never pay off my phone. After a year of AppleCare payments and the value of the phone divided by 24, I turn that in. I get a new one. I think that makes the most sense. My last point on the keynote, I had a coworker ask me yesterday, I wish you were there. Like, we were having this argument about Samsung and Apple, and they say that Apple just is late to the game and they rip off everything. I hate those things. I hate those arguments for two reasons. Number one, if we want to be real, everyone's ripping off Apple. That's my thought. The iPhone was the original phone. That was truly groundbreaking in 2008. Really, 2007, I should say, is when it was announced. That was a radical change. That was a leap forward. That was the day that we ushered in the current smartphone era. Smartphone, I don't even know if it was a term before Apple invented the iPhone. Back then, it was the Razr, Motorola Razr. It was the BlackBerry. Those were not all screen phones. There was no such thing as multi-touch. There was no interacting with your screens in that manner. You had to have a keyboard. So Apple did it first in terms of the current smartphone era. Now, if Apple ever gets into the foldable smartphone, then, you know, that won't apply. That will have been other companies first. But that's, I just think all these phones, they're all improvements upon the original invention, which was the iPhone. And then secondly, who freaking cares in today's day and age about what came first, who did what? At the end of the day, you know what you and I all care about? We care about, are things working 100% of the time? That's the expectation. It's not 90%, it's not 95. All the time, we want these features to work and we want them available. And Apple produces that better than any tech company in the world. Their features work. Are they late to the game? Are they similar to something that Android's had for a couple years? Yeah, probably, but you know what? They work, I think, a lot more, and they're available to a lot more phones than Android. Their fragmentation of software is so much higher than Apple. I just don't care, and I don't think it's a real thing. At the end of the day, which phone delivers the best user experience and those features are useful? Dynamic Island being an example of that, I think that is incredibly useful. And which features are reliable and work all the time? Group FaceTime calls, group video calls, not something exclusive to Apple, but when they rolled it out, quote unquote, late to the party, guess what? It worked great. It's worked phenomenally. I use it all the time in my day-to-day use, honestly. I mean, I have group FaceTime calls, if not close to daily, definitely weekly. So there's my thoughts on the Apple keynote. Anything groundbreaking? No, I think phones have advanced too far to have anything truly groundbreaking anymore. Now it's about useful improvements. What is affecting my day today? And I think Apple and their announcements are doing so. Thanks for listening. I will have a BYU-Baylor preview shortly. Have a great day and we'll see you soon.